Love is the law wherever you're hearing this broadcast, on your radio dial, on the MyTalk app, at MyTalk1071.com, or maybe in the future as a podcast. Hello, people from the future. And hello.
It's Brittany, bitch.
She's back.
Even if you didn't
even
want me to come back.
Even after we abused her yesterday,
even after
back.
I left in a bandage of hocus pocus shame.
You wanted to come back because you wanted to celebrate with us National No Bra Day.
Woo!
And National Herpes Awareness Day.
What?
I mean, it's two for Tuesday here.
I can relate to both.
Please don't say that. But whatever.
I had some hocus pocus shame too. Because when you guys said Thora Birch was in it, I was like, oh yeah, I think she's cute. And then I had no idea that in the movie she was like 9.
Okay, so what we're talking about.
No,
yeah. So yesterday, Brittany is, you know, assigned a deep dive. We have no idea what she's doing today, but it'll be at 4:30. And yesterday it was Hocus Pocus, and you're telling us why it's great.
It's amazing.
Really,
you know how many people
really
reached out to me?
Never told us what it's about.
Mostly to see if I was okay.
So we abused her, so Rocco, you watched it last
night. I did watch it with my son. It was not awful.
I'll take it. I will take it.
And his son watched tonight.
His son watched the whole thing,
oh,
which is amazing.
I thought so too.
Okay, and did people really reach out?
People reached out to me on both sides of the coin, though. Mm-hmm. People agreeing with you.
Oh gosh, that
people
was funny
telling
yesterday.
Me I need to talk less about Hocus Pocus, and there are some people out there who think I should talk more about Hocus Pocus.
Uh-huh.
So we're gonna
table it.
We're gonna table that. I have a whole new subject for you guys to verbally attack me with.
I can't wait.
I can't either. You know, I am here for this abuse.
Okay, good. Because we've done the Monster Mash. We did the
candy corn.
TikTok.
Candy corn.
TikTok?
Yep.
TikTok.
Yeah.
And then we did Hocus Pocus. So today I'm thinking it's going to be Halloween or October
theme.
Of course.
Okay. It is. Yeah.
Okay.
So. I just once again want to say I don't find 9-year-old Thora Birch attractive.
Okay. And Rocco, thank you.
I liked her in Ghost World. She was 19 years old.
And in American Beauty, she was...
I think she was a little younger, so I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay, no, but she is. She's
in
gorgeous.
Ghost World, she was cute.
Yeah.
She was 19.
Yeah.
I we're probably going to get off of the Hocus Pocus train here, or maybe we aren't.
Yeah, we are.
But I thought she was the best part. She's like 9-year-old Thora Birch. Her and Bette Midler were the two best actors in the movie.
Yeah, real standouts.
All right. All right. Well, good to know.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Look at me. I'm silent.
Ding,
for
ding, ding.
I'm not gonna say
anything.
I'm
driving home last night and I get a call from my Seattle dearest friend, Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I'm behind. Because she has listened to our show every day since we've started.
Wow.
Every day. But she was behind and she said, I'm behind. I had to read some books for my book club out here and I had to do some other stuff. So is Rocco going to be a part of your show now? I love him.
Aww.
So, and I want to thank everybody for saying how nice you are, Rocco.
Thank you.
So you're getting a lot of positive
accolades.
And I called him Donnie twice even.
That's fine. I in a way, I'm the new Donnie, but of course I'll never be the new Donnie. But yeah, I'm sitting here behind the board, pushing the buttons, keeping the train on the tracks, and that's about it.
That's about it.
I'm still doing my other job, which is making commercials and promos and funny bits for the station. So.
And I'm doing Donnie's job.
And I'm barely doing anything.
Well, you just show up and look pretty. Okay, so we have a big author coming on today at 3:30, Lisa Jewell. She's written 19 novels. Her latest is Invisible Girl. We're going to have a couple copies to give away. You want to tune in, stay with us for that. She is amazing. Her book is amazing. I read it. Lori's not here.
The bookmark's all the way at the end. She read it.
All the way to the end. And then I read the book for Thursday already last night. So I'm on
it.
Big, big, big news. Okay, so I have rewatched the movie, The Proposal, with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. This rom-com.
Yeah.
Probably 5 times. I mean,
wow.
At least.
It's
really
cute.
It's just cute. And the Betty White thing with Sandra Bullock, you know, doing the dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all I can think of when I was doing that is the WAP beginning, there's bump in the booms. But instead of what the dance is, when they're doing that dance out over the smoke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what it is. From the window to the floor.
Oh, yeah, to
down
the walls.
Down those. All right, that. So anyway, this is exciting. It's going to be, she's going to star and produce. It's called The Lost City of D, a romantic action adventure. It's going to be Paramount has signed on to help with the project. It's a major priority, a newly instated motion picture. And it's the first time, we're hoping Ryan Reynolds signs on for sure, but it'll be the first time they've worked together since the comedy hit Proposal in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And it's akin to Romancing the Stone. Now, that's a deep dive. I don't know if you remember seeing that with Michael Douglas and Catherine. What's her name?
Deep voice.
Hurt. No, that's William Hurt. What's her name? All right. Anywho, someone will look that up. The story's going to follow
Kathleen Turner.
Thank you.
And Danny DeVito.
Yes. Right? So good. Those movies. Now, those are good movies.
Okay. I've never watched them.
You like rom-coms?
I like rom-coms. I don't normally seek them out.
Oh.
But that would be another one to see if it aged well.
Yeah. Romancing the Stone.
1984.
It was funny.
Really?
Oh, gosh. There was good chemistry. And they actually had a little affair. Kind of like what Dominic West is doing. But the story follows a romance author who learns that a supposedly fictional city she had written about is real. She and the actor who portrays the lead character in her book take a life-threatening journey to find this lost city. Oh, it just sounds so good. I don't even care what it's about. I really don't care.
I liked the proposal. I thought they were so cute together.
Oh, my gosh. And Ryan Reynolds is so...
I know.
His facial looks... He's really...
Just funny.
He is.
Just dry and funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made... Like, that's why, like, something like Deadpool, he makes it.
Oh, that was so good.
It was so good because he's just timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's lovely.
He is lovely.
Plus, he's hot. Like, hot and funny, I just feel like it's... When that combo hits right, it's like, yes.
Yeah. Rocco, is Sandra out of your age range?
Sandra Bullock? I don't think she's out of my age range,
okay.
No.
Okay. I mean, do you think she's cute?
Yeah, for sure. And I got a confession to make. I often get Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds mixed up.
As many do. I get Lily Collins and Lily whatever the other one's mixed up.
I should do a deep dive on the Ryans.
You could, and then we'll do another one on the Chris's.
I would like to do...
And then we could do another one on the Sandra's.
I would like the Ryans to do a deep dive on me.
It's National No Bra Day. Okay, so I think that's going to be fun. Marie Osmond, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Marie. I know you're listening.
She's only 61. That kind of freaked me out.
Whoa.
Only reason I'm saying that, I mean, she's gorgeous. Yeah, we've met her many times.
Yeah.
She's been in studio. We went out to Vegas and interviewed her and Donnie in their hotel room. But she seemed to me like she's so much older because she's just done so much more work.
She was just so young when she started. Right. And I think it just feels like she's been around forever.
Right.
And so, yeah, I thought for sure, not because of what you're right, not because of what she looks, but just because of your mindset of how long she's been around.
She's been decades a star.
Absolutely.
So happy birthday. And then I saw the most beautiful tweet last night. Harry Styles, I think he's in the USA. Isn't he?
I think
he is, but he's trending. And what the world needs now is more Harry.
Yeah, I thought he was out in California.
Yeah, I was very happy. So he's on our soil. People
makes you feel good.
See him. You know, he's not in Italy. He's not in England. He's here.
Yeah.
So there's hope.
I mean,
there's hope for all of us. And he's
we might run into him.
Yeah. We might run into him. All right. We got to take a quick break. This is My Talk 107.1, Lori and Julia show. When we come back, our story we can't get enough of. Everybody's talking about it today. And, it's pretty shocking to hear what's going on in this cult. We'll be right back. All right, gang. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today. All right, so you're watching The Vow on HBO, which is about the cult Nexium.
Yes, it's been 8 Sundays in a row.
And you're still hanging in there. Lori dropped out after the first night. Holly's been hanging in there a little.
I feel like I've joined the cult because I'm that into it.
Got it. And you have to wait for Sunday night. So this is really bumming her out, Rocco.
Yeah.
Because and how many is it going to be? Do we know? Are you getting towards the end?
I thought 8.
But apparently it's not done.
But it's not done. I told Justin, love of my life, we got one more episode. Let's finish this bad boy up. Because it shouldn't be 8 episodes. They've dragged it on
a bit much. That's what I've heard. Well, today, go ahead.
I was going to say, I felt the same about the HBO McDonald's thing.
Totally.
Like, you could have done this in like 2-3 hours.
Absolutely, they could.
I started watching that too and I got bored.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's something because we're going to tell you the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be, we posted the trailer because the Nexium cult... the story of India Oxenberg, who is Catherine Oxenberg's daughter. Mm-hmm. And she was on Dynasty, and she's also royalty.
Yeah.
The new docuseries called Seduced, Inside the Cult, is coming to Stars this month. It starts on October 18th. So I think that's what, I don't even know what day that is. But here she was this morning. She sat down, the daughter that we'd been talking about for years, because the mom, Catherine, was trying to get her daughter back from this cult.
Yeah.
So this morning they sat down with Amy Robach, and Amy's just going to kind of give us the overview. It's fascinating. What I really thought this was compelling stuff. So here we go.
NXIVM was initially billed as a self-help group, massively popular with 16,000 members, promising people the tools for personal success and empowerment, attracting Hollywood stars and millionaires. But everything came crashing down after allegations of a secret sex cult surfaced, landing its leader and several high-ranking members behind bars. Actress Catherine Oxenberg fought for years to free her daughter India from this group. And this morning, India is finally breaking her silence.
This morning, India Oxenberg, daughter of TV star and real-life royalty Catherine Oxenberg, is breaking her silence, speaking out for the first time since breaking free from the so-called cult NXIVM.
What I thought I was learning was self-help and personal growth. What I was learning was the opposite. It was inhumane.
India joined what she thought was a self-help group run by Keith Raniere, a self-proclaimed guru who bragged about what he describes as his superior intellect when she was just 19 years old and looking for purpose.
So her mom took her to the first meeting.
Yeah.
And we just kind of want to break it up, but they're going to get to some really crazy things that happen. So we're just going to play the next one, Rocco.
Her mother, Catherine, who starred in the hit show Dynasty.
My name's Amanda.
Actually took India to her first meeting.
You and your mom went into NXIVM together initially, but then you say almost immediately they were trying to break that connection.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was all strategic, and we were unaware of why they were doing that at the time. But it's actually something that I learned later on called parental alienation.
India spent nearly 7 years in the organization, paying them nearly $100,000. She says she was slowly being brainwashed, but couldn't see it while it was happening.
That's years of grooming. And when you're unaware, it's so easy to be led astray, especially by people who are masters at manipulation. Yeah. And these people were that, especially Keith Raniere. He's a master at manipulation. If there's one thing he's intelligent at, it's that. And he's a predator.
So when you think about 7 years, she went in at 19. She came out when she's 26. So, and talking about parental alienation, Scientology does the same thing to the kids. You know, when you're 6 years old, you start breaking off from your parents. And they're not your, you know, it's this parent alienation. So you don't have the concept of family.
Yeah.
So here she is talking about what we need to hear.
Prosecutors say Raniere was a con man and a predator who took advantage of women. They say Raniere, who called himself Vanguard, created a secret sorority inside the group where women were made to be his sex slaves and blackmailed with what they called collateral, like family secrets and nude photos.
I can explain later. I did what I had to do.
India says Smallville actress Allison Mack introduced her to the society under the guise of female empowerment.
Now that you can look back on it, how would you describe that sexual relationship?
I would describe that sexual relationship as rape. I had given collateral, which automatically removes my choice. So I did not have the option to say no. Saying no meant hurting my family or hurting my friends, and I wasn't going to do that.
I was the first woman in my group of slaves to be branded.
Tell me about the night you were branded.
It was horrible. At the time, I thought I was doing this empowering, bonding moment with a group of friends that I considered my nearest and dearest.
And you had no idea that it was Keith's initials. I remember
right.
that.
I mean, yeah. That's the real thing, is that we were told that it was a symbol of the elements and that this was going to be a bonding experience. And we were sleep deprived. We were starved. Yeah. We were coerced. You don't just decide to be branded. You're coerced into being branded.
Did I blow it for you now, Brittany?
No, a lot of the stuff I knew.
Over. Okay,
a lot of this, all the stuff they've knew. The only thing I hadn't known is that they left a cliffhanger of did they get India out.
Well, obviously,
so she's, that's, but I mean, all yes. the stuff that they've already talked about, yeah. They focused in on two couples that were in NXIVM together. And Sarah was one of the girls, and she had been branded, and they showed her brand a lot. Yeah. And that really blew up during the Me Too movement. It kind of rode that mm-hmm. wave where they were really mm-hmm. lucky that that got that national attention as well. And so I think it's still interesting, but I do think that Stars did HBO dirty. Like, they came out with this for a reason at the time they did. Because mm-hmm. now part of me is like, do I finish HBO or do I just go to Stars?
Well, and Stars, you, like, on my plan, I have to buy it extra now.
Yeah, of course
it,
I do.
It stopped. You know, they had, yeah. Oh, what's the beautiful thing with Catherine and Jamie Frazier's?
The one that goes in time?
The sexy one, yeah.
Outlander?
Outlander, yeah. Because they had that, and then they started charging. But the thing I thought was interesting, and this is something about these cults, is she says they had collateral.
Yes.
And it reminds me of the E-meters, mm-hmm. that at Scientology, you think you're releasing all this information, but you're being taped as yeah. you're being audited, and that's dirt on you. And then they continue to ask you questions, get more and more dirt, even though it's not true, or if it is true, you know,
yeah.
you just keep doing it to get out of it. So it's collateral. So you can't, you're no longer able to make decisions because your family could be affected and other things could be affected.
Yeah. This couple, Sarah and the husband's name was Nippy. They made Sarah, they said, this is what we need you to do for collateral. Just say that your husband beats your son. We know it's not true, but that way we have, you know, you can, we can trust that you'll follow your word because you wouldn't want this coming out. So we're going right. to record you
I'm
saying
manipulative.
This.
Isn't that crazy?
And they have all this footage, and that's why a lot of people don't, you know, even if they get out of the cult, they somehow sneak out. They don't want to be public. There's all these, you know, interviews that they do where mm-hmm. they disguise the face because they're like, oh, well, they have a lot on me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Hello, cult people.
I know.
And like David Koresh, you know, he had a sex thing going in his thing. And just, it's amazing to me. But I feel like people are vulnerable right now. Be careful.
I know.
Don't go into the Scientology building.
And that's the thing is, nobody goes into a cult. Nobody says, I'm going to join a cult.
She was searching for a more deeper life. She said yeah. when she was growing up, she kind of had everything. And she said, there's got to be more kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, be careful. Anyway, this is going to, the trailer's posted. Her mom fought long and hard.
Yeah.
And kept saying, I don't care what you have said about me. It doesn't matter. 7 years to fight for your daughter. I mean,
yeah, it's amazing.
Crazy. Anyway. All right. So when we come back, we're going to have Lisa Jewell with us. The new book is Invisible Girl. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We are so delighted to have international best-selling author of 19 novels, including her latest, The Invisible Girl, Lisa Jewell, with us. She has sold more than 4.5 million copies of her work and has been translated into 25 different languages. Hey, Lisa.
Hello. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon and good evening to you in London. Yeah. Okay, so I have to ask you, so your books, I think this is probably the fourth or fifth book of yours that we've talked to you about, and this one was so good, but before we get to it, I want to know, what is the funniest language you think you're translated into?
Oh, funniest? Do you mean like most unexpected?
Unexpected language, because you're in 25 different languages, and I've never asked that to anybody before.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to offend anyone, but yeah, I mean, the ones where it's, you know, impossible to work out from the, like, it's not even normal alphabet. Hebrew?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That was unexpected.
Yeah.
After all these years. And that was my first, I just got my first Hebrew translation deal. So.
Oh, really?
After 20 years, yes.
Wow. And this all started out on a bet from a friend that you became a novelist.
Yes, absolutely. No, I was not one of those young people who'd spent their whole life thinking that they wanted to write a book. I was one of those young people who was just flailing around without a clue where my life was going. And I mean, I kind of thought I might write a book when I was 50, but certainly not when I was 26, which is how old I was when I started writing my first book, which was, as you say, as a result of a bet with a friend who basically just wanted to shut me up.
I love it, though, but how great that you got that figured out so early. This book, The Invisible Girl, is such a page turner. I know it just is dropping today. I loved it. Lori's not here with us today, but she read it and loved it too. So why don't you let our listeners know the setup?
Okay, this is really cheating. I'm really sorry to do this because every time I try and explain my book succinctly, I get caught up in knots because it's such a complicated book and there's so much going on in it and there doesn't seem to be a simple way of explaining it. And then I was sent a press cutting today of a review of my book.
Okay.
And it's 4 lines long and it's perfect. Is it really cheating if I just read out what somebody else has
done?
No, I think
that's perfect.
It just sums it up beautifully. I'm going to try and memorize it so I can always use it. Right. So this is Invisible Girl in somebody else's words. Owen Pick is the kind of guy the neighbors talk about. Mid-30s, kind of strange, seems to spend a lot of time lurking around alone. The family across the street thinks he's behind a recent rash of sexual gropings and assaults in the area. When a young girl goes missing, all eyes are on him, even though the family across the street seems to have plenty of secrets of their own. There you go.
Oh.
So that's what Invisible Girl is about in a very well-written nutshell.
Yeah, and Lisa, this one, I mean, it's... I'm loving how you explored, because the main characters are Kate, Owen, and is it Safri?
Sapphire.
Of course, I couldn't pronounce it right.
Yeah.
But it's told from their perspectives, and the time goes forward and backwards, and you just don't really know what's going. There's dark themes in this people should know about. And you write about that at the beginning if it's going to trigger people. But it's such a page-turner. I was so glad. I never can read a book like in 24 hours or 36 or something like that. I was able to. This one I couldn't put down.
That's my goal. I don't have any grand, lofty literary ambitions. All I want is for people to tell me that they read my book quicker than they read other people's books.
Well, mission accomplished. And you kind of said at the end of the book, in Sapphire, it's, something happened to her when she was 10. And so she goes to see this therapist. And the therapist happens to be across the street living with Kate, his wife, and her 2 kids from Owen, kind of the creepy guy. And just how everything goes together and how invisible she is and another character is and how they kind of roam through the streets of London and everything that's going on behind in people's lives that no one knows about.
Yes, it's dark in lots of ways. It's dark in terms of the themes, but it's also the setting is so dark. It's set in January and February, which in London is, it's nighttime by 3 p.m. It's dark. So there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of trees waving in the wind and quiet back streets. And there's this urban wasteland as well. Where a lot of the action is set. It's like it's where an old house had been demolished and not been redeveloped. So it's this empty patch of land, which is quite unusual in London. And the character Sapphire Maddox, she's got claustrophobia and she's also stalking her former therapist. So she uses this plot of land to basically live in. And it's freezing cold and she's out there. And it made me feel cold writing about
her.
She
was so young. Yeah.
So young. And she has, she had a family and a bed and a warm place to live in, but she wanted to be out there. And there's an urban fox. And there's shadows, there's strange men walking the streets. And as you say, as it says in the description as well, there is a series of sexual assaults in the area. So it's really edgy and really uncomfortable. I wanted it to feel really uncomfortable, to read. But hopefully that's all balanced out by the characters who I think are, emotionally engaging.
And you don't figure it out. I mean, so that's the other thing. It's, it's suspenseful right up to the end. So if you're just trying to ask, we're talking with international best-selling, New York Times best-selling author, When She Was Gone. What was the one that we just read in The Addict or Upstairs?
The Family Upstairs.
Thank you. Yes. You were just on for that last summer, I think. And then this called The Invisible, it's Invisible Girl. When you're writing them, because I read at the end of your book, you kind of just said, I don't let anyone talk to me, touch my stuff until I'm done with it. I don't even do research, really. So I apologize. And then people take it and do their magic, all your publishing people.
Yes, exactly. No, because I sat down to write my acknowledgements as I do at the end of every book. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how come I never thanked people for stuff that they've helped me with while I was writing the book? And I realized that's because nobody does anything to help me while I'm writing the book. I'm not one of those writers who goes off and finds interesting people to interview or goes off on voyages to research foreign lands and meets all sorts of helpful people along the way. I just, everything that's on the page came out of my head.
Does that scare people around you?
I think people are sometimes very surprised to meet me because it doesn't quite match up with the sort of person they imagine would be able to create the sort of darkness that I seem to be capable of creating. So I do just sit at a laptop. It's just somebody asked me to send them a picture of my desks the other day. It's an artist who's doing a series of sketches mm-hmm. of writer's desks. And I was quite embarrassed to send it because it's literally my kitchen table, a mug of tea and a laptop. I don't have any paperwork. I don't have any notes. I don't have any clutter or anything surrounding me because the only place where the story lives is inside my head. So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing because we've talked to a lot of different authors and all the different processes and that you literally just kind of go straight from your head and don't talk to other people. I mean, that's kind of unusual.
Yes. I do know of other writers who write that way, and I always feel such a kinship because I often sit on panels at events and listen to other writers talk about their process, and I do feel a special kinship with the ones who've never owned a whiteboard.
Yeah.
They don't carry a notebook around, who just sort of get on with it. And it is, I think a lot of it comes down to trusting your own instincts, mm-hmm. which definitely, you know, like you say, I'm writing my 19th novel at the moment. I've been published for 20 years. I now know that I can trust my instincts, which is massive, massively helpful because, yeah, it means I don't spend the whole time panicking and thinking I'm doing it all wrong.
Oh, Lisa, yeah. This book is just so, so good. And I love that it's in trade paperback.
Oh, yes.
Because it's, you know, it's just, it's so nice to have this. So my, the person sitting in for Lori today, her name is Brittany, and she had a question and she thought, have you ever wanted to write a sequel to any of your books that you've written?
I have never, ever wanted to write a sequel to any of my books. I did, in fact, write a sequel to my first book. So my first book was called Ralph's Party, and it was a romantic comedy. And I foolishly suggested writing a sequel to my publishers 10 years later, thinking that they would like it, and they did like it, and then I had to write it, and I didn't enjoy writing it. So that was a sort of a bad move on my part. But having said that, Family Upstairs, which is the book I spoke to you about last year,
yes,
I very much... I've now told enough a critical mass of people that I'm going to write a sequel to it to mean that I probably do now have to write a sequel to it. So, yes, I will be writing a sequel to The Family Upstairs, and I'll be starting that next year. So, yeah, but I actually want to rather than doing it to the readers, I'm doing it for myself.
Oh, cool. That's cool because those characters, I'm thinking of her in The Family Upstairs, she could use a continuation.
Oh, there's lots of things going on in that book that could be brought back up and given some oxygen and brought back to life.
Yeah.
Given a whole new lease of life. So, there's plenty more gas left in it.
Yeah, what a gift you have, Lisa. Okay, so we have to ask you, what's the last great book that you read?
I tell you a really great book that I read and I cannot remember the name of the book. Yes, it's called The Push and it was by a writer called Audra. I cannot remember her surname.
We can figure it out.
It begins with an A.
The Push.
Yes. And it's a slightly, we need to talk about Kevin-y kind of thing about a woman who gives birth to a little girl and the little girl turns out to be quite a handful and that's putting it mildly. And it's really dark and it's really, really gripping.
Oh.
And I wish I could remember her name.
That's okay.
It's Audra something beginning with an A.
We'll figure it out, but The Push. Okay. This book, people, buy it. You're going to love it. It's a great weekend read. Invisible Girl by Lisa Jewell. Lisa, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
So
lovely, lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep writing. You're so good. Thanks
a
lot.
I'll talk to you next year.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Okay, thanks a lot. And in the meantime, we have two copies of the book to give away. Give us a buzz at 651-641-1071 and Rocco will get your information. We'll be right back.
All right.
right, hey gang. Let's see. Lisa Jewell was so delightful. The book again is Invisible Girl. It's a great read, you guys.
She just says things in such a cool way.
Well, that English accent is absolutely delightful.
There's some still gas left in some of the character stories. Know. I was like, oh, I think I'm in love.
She's like 49 and she knew what she was good at 26. How lucky for her.
Right.
Yeah, she knew it. So anywho.
And I want to apologize. A lot of people were calling in.
I know it.
And for some reason, my phone stopped working.
I know.
I was able to call England, but I wasn't able to pick up the phone. So we do have a second winner. So I just want to apologize to everybody that maybe called and heard nothing.
Right. Because I talked to Mary.
Okay.
Mary, you know who you are. I took her information. Holly
rebooted it and it should be good. But okay. We do have our two winners.
Oh, we do. Okay. Yes. So we're done. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for doing that. All right. So did you guys see the video of the man who was on a hike in Utah where the cougar was walking after him for like 6 minutes?
No.
You didn't see that? It was on.
No, I didn't.
It was just crazy.
Like it was stalking him?
Well, he was on a hike and all of a sudden he thought it was a kitten or a cat or something little, but it was a cougar.
It was hunting him, you think?
Well, it was following him, and then he could tell it wasn't just a normal thing, because it went, you know, and it
We got the growling part.
So it, like, freaked me out. But here were some of the things I learned when I learned about the cougar. It was on Good Morning America. I saw it on our Channel 5 here, Midday News. They were talking about it, too, is that when you come across...
What do I need to do?
A cougar.
Yeah.
A wild cat... On a hike or out and about, you need to make yourself really big and don't ever turn your back to it. Make some noise, stay facing it, and walk slowly away.
I can do all that.
Okay. So there's your guy.
So keep eating in quarantine. That'll help us get big. Slowly back. I like it. Done.
Slowly back away because you're not moving as fast because you've gotten big. There you go.
I like
slowly. It. Slowly. No, I know. It kind of... Like there, you know, there's things in lives that I just don't want to come across. And I want to thank everybody because I got a ton of emails and things about my Spice Girl name for my tennis, the Slice Girls. Well,
did you pick one?
Well, I can't yet. I wrote them all down.
You have like a top three?
I don't do that to me right now. I'm not prepared.
I want you to be stressed. I want to see what Julia
You've
looks.
Already seen me stressed. You've already seen. Come on.
Cool as a cucumber over there. I know you're going to pick Juicy.
Juicy J? Juicy Slice? I don't know. No, okay. There were some other good ones. But people, I just think it's so fun that I love it that people were doing that. Okay, so it's apparently a big day for a certain company that delivers a lot of stuff to a lot of people, but we don't say the name.
Yeah, we don't care.
I want to tell you that Target, our local company, is doing a big, big, big thing today, too.
Okay.
So go to Target.com. Go to Best Buy. They're a local company. They're doing some big things today. So AirPods. Do you have AirPods?
No.
Okay. Everyone has them.
I know, but I lose things. I would lose them. Yes. I actually like the wired ones.
You do because you know where everything is.
I know who I am. And I hate charging things. I already charge a phone. And if I want to go for a run, I don't want to go. My headphones aren't charged.
I feel like I won't get, like, it'll somehow not work. And I'd be out there and I'd be like, damn, I don't have anything now.
That happens to me when I had headphones I had to charge. I'd be like, well, now I'm walking in silence.
Well, they have the AirPod Pro that are usually $250 at Target right now for just $200.
Okay.
And they're 24-hour charging. So the charge lasts for 24 hours on these. That seems ridiculous to me for a pair of headsets.
I know.
I'm wearing a pair that are $10 at Sears.
Exactly.
Which and isn't just even around.
Plug and play.
Just plug and play.
I'm with you. I like those wrap around behind the ears.
Yeah,
that's what Julia's got.
Donnie. Thank you. Oh gosh, Rocco.
It's all right.
I can't help it. It's a male voice.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
Because Lori and I can't stand, you guys are wearing the big muff, big serious ones.
Yeah.
I can't hand that. My ears sweat.
Well, plus it messes with your hairdo.
This is exactly right. See, exactly right.
Do we still say hairdo these days? That sounds so 70s.
Your hairstyle, your hairdo.
Okay.
There used to be a product called Dippity-Doo. Yes. Do you guys remember that?
No.
It was this gel thing in a jar, and it was kind of like a Brill cream kind of thing. Dippity-Doo. It smelled really kind of cool. My mom had Dippity-Doo.
Mm.
I mean, back in the day, the old... you know, hair dryers were like luggage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, with the hat that you'd put the like the vacuum thing into
at the end
of it and twist it, and then you'd turn it on. You had a case, like a record player case. I mean, you had a hair dryer.
You almost had to pull start it.
It's coming. It's coming. Oh my gosh. She was, you know what I thought was really cute about talking with her is that she said, I have a hard time describing my books.
I know.
So I'm going to read a review that someone else wrote about it.
She's like, it's more succinct. Like, I loved that.
I think
I should memorize it.
I know.
I like that you asked her a question she's never heard before.
About the languages?
What's the funniest language you've ever had your book translated into?
I just thought 25, you want to know the problem? Okay. Usually we can find in the book just came out. So there's no interviews. There's nothing out there. It's been on Goodreads because Goodreads, people who read a lot of books can talk about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But so I'm like, it just struck me as people, I wonder if they think it's interesting when their book is suddenly published in all these, in a different language.
Yeah. So, I think that especially if it has themes that normally those cultures wouldn't want published. I think that would be very interesting as well.
It's weird.
I think she picked an interesting. She said it was Hebrew. That was a weird one for her. And yeah, her new.
She just signed the rights.
I know. So that was it ended up being a great question. But you're right. It was a weird question.
It was very weird, Rocco.
In the future, let's not call other people's languages funny.
I didn't mean to say it like that. I thought that was a disc.
Okay, maybe she meant interesting.
Lori would have hit me. Or a pen would have come in my face. Right. I can't be perfect.
I'm gently hitting you.
I know you are. I know. I didn't. I know.
It's
know.
Okay.
I know. All right. I got to tell you about a new show I watched. I didn't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time left.
Right,
it's called Brave New World. It's on Peacock. It is based on Aldous Huxley, a famous 1932 novel, Brave New World. Okay. But basically, the story begins in London where there's no privacy, no family, no monogamy.
Yeah.
Everyone is very happy, but they're at an emotionless state, a society that uses, you know, pills to,
for everything.
Have you read this book?
Yes, I've read this book.
Oh, you
That's
have.
Why I was like, whoa, I didn't know it was a show.
But it's sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
Demi Moore's in it.
They instead of having any relations, they go to these things that
sex
stimulate
parties.
Them. Yeah, and it's done.
Yeah. And it's called Brave New World, and Peacock is free.
Yeah, I'm going to watch
this. And they have some commercials, but only one at a time.
And who cares?
And right. So I just kind of started watching it. It's kind of sexy.
I'm so there. I read this book so long ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
They're all about it, and it's supposed to be kind of like a...
dystopian kind of
yes,
world.
Yes.
Yes, it is. And then they're... That one of the things that they're going to visit is like the savages, which are us.
Yeah, like
and they
people
show,
who
like,
live their own
on
emotions.
Black Friday going or after Thanksgiving, busting into a store and trampling over each other. That's like their amusement park.
It's like if you let your emotions control you.
Yep.
You would be. Yeah. I think this sounds amazing.
So it's called The Brave New World. It's free on Peacock. There's pretty people in it. So and one of the people in it is the gal that we met in Pitch.
Ooh.
Her name is, I love her, Kylie Brunbury, and she's she was in Pitch with Mark Paul Glaser.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be in Big Sky, which is coming out next month. She's really great. She's beautiful.
I'm into it.
All right, there you go.
Good call.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk 107.1.